Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and business leaders bringing Broadway and the theater industry back to life. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to two of the folks behind the Theater Leadership Project. The new nonprofit initiative will train, mentor, and place early career Black producers, general managers, company managers, and stage managers in the commercial theater industry via multi-year fellowships and partnerships with Black-led theater organizations. Founded by Broadway producers and working with an advisory council that includes Whoopi Goldberg, the Theater Leadership Project officially launches later this year. And in this episode, I'll be talking to Travis Lamont Bellinger, a producer who is one of the founding members of the project, and to Leah Harris, the program manager for the new nonprofit. Both Harris and Bellinger are in the virtual studio with me to talk us through all the ways the Theater Leadership Project hopes to help change an industry where Black professionals remain severely underrepresented. Hey, Leah and Travis, thanks for joining me.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You've both been involved in theater and the theater industry for several years now, and I wonder if we could start by talking about your previous work in the theater and how it led you to where you are now and to the Theater Leadership Project. I guess, Travis, let's start with you. Tell us about your background and how it brought you to where you are.
Sure. I've had just about every job one could possibly have in the theater in order to kind of make my way. I knew after college that I wanted to be a producer. That was very real to me. How to get there, I didn't necessarily know. So I did some, you know, I did this pretty big internship and fellowship at Arena Stage and have worked at a bunch of different places. I really just took any associate producer, anything with producer in the title, I would take that job because there is no pathway, there's no route. Eventually I continued working up and I was at the Old Globe as the associate artistic director and Leah Volek asked me to join her to start her company, Leah Volek Productions. And so I went off to do that. And one of the first things that Leah talked to me about was TTLP, the Theater Leadership Project. That started in June in the wake of George Floyd's murder. When so many industries were grappling with how do we contribute to racist structures, anti-Black racist structures? The theater industry was also thinking through this. Leah and Barbara Broccoli had this idea of creating TTLP, and that's how I've come to it. It's because I work for Leah, and so I'm working on it.
Right. Yeah. And then Leah, different Leah. Tell us about your background and how you came to the project.
Yeah. So I have mainly worked regionally. Ever since I got out of college, I've been fortunate enough to just be working full time regionally. I worked at Dallas Theater Center for just about 4 years, and that's where I met Travis, actually. And then I was at Milwaukee Repertory Theater, and all of my work there has really centered across community engagement, education, programming in regional theater, and really getting theaters to think about how they're in conversation with their communities that they serve. So that's really been the basis of my work. And through that, I've also gotten to do artistic producing as well at the regional theater. So that's been really great because I've gotten to learn about producing kind of through a community lens, which has been really great. And how I got to TTLP is I, at the height of the pandemic, like so many people, lost my job, actually. So they cut community engagement at Milwaukee Rep. And so I kind of was in this place of like, okay, what is going to be my next step? And so I kind of put myself back out there. I was interviewing everywhere, and I was kind of just throwing darts all over to figure out where I wanted to be. Am I going to stay in the Midwest, go back to the South, East Coast, West Coast? And Travis actually texted me and was like, hey, this thing is happening. I'm wondering if you want to have a conversation about it. And it kind of went from there. And I've officially been with TTLP since the beginning of March as the program manager. So it's been really great because it kind of intersects a lot of my interests. And it's kind of a beautiful culmination of the work I've done thus far in terms of producing and program management and partnerships and thinking about, you know, how we build a community of support around a group of people within the theater and things like that. So, so that's how I got to TTLP.
And so we'll talk a little bit about what TTLP is doing and the programs it's offering. But Travis, you mentioned Leah Volek, who is a Broadway producer who recently started her own production company. As you and she are among the founding members of TTLP. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about who else are among that group of founders with you, and how do you all anticipate being involved moving forward with the project?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the other founding members of TTLP include Alicia Parker, who is a producer and a general manager, Patrick Daly, who is also a producer. Patrick and Alicia both consult with Barbara Broccoli, who is the other founding member. Barbara Broccoli and Leah Volek came together in the wake of George Floyd's murder and had this idea. And then they brought in Patrick, Alicia, and I to help them create this company.
Right. Yeah. And then Leah, how will you be involved in the kind of day-to-day workings of this? What does it mean to be the program manager of TTLP? Do you know yet?
I think we're still defining it every day because it's also new, but it is really exciting for me because I think there's a lot of room for growth and creation in this program. And so I think as that continues to grow, my role and influence will continue to evolve with it, which I think is actually really exciting. I kind of love that I have been brought in at the stage that I have been in terms of just where I'm able to, like Travis said, just kind of like keep everything going. But also it's exciting now that we are announced to be able to have conversations with, you know, the Broadway community and just other partners about, you know, what does it look like to offer this fellowship for 3 years and to have a community of fellows that are really looking to invest in full-time work on Broadway. And what does that community of support look like? So yes, we know, you know, that we'll be working with our partners in terms of their day-to-day work. But also I'm really interested in, again, just the community of support that we can build around these fellows to assure that at the end of this fellowship in 3 years, that this is a life and a community that they want to sustain and continue to be in. So, I mean, right now, you know, my day-to-day is like emails and meetings and, you know, setting up things and stuff like that. But also, I think we're getting into some really exciting conversations at TTLP about, you know, just the how we continue to kind of really build up this program and have offerings outside of, you know, just doing the work, but how we really get them into the Broadway community at such an important time right now when we're reopening. I think it's really exciting to think about that in that terms as well.
Leah, you mentioned briefly the partnerships, the partners that you will be working with. And I wanted to talk to you both about sort of what those partner organizations are and why it was important as you thought about this project to sort of partner with those particular organizations and what you were able to do with those partnerships that maybe you wouldn't be able to do alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can talk about, you know, kind of who our partners are. So we are partnered with the Prince Fellowship that's housed at Columbia University. And that we're partnered with them on the creative producing track. They have a pretty long history within the industry of producing creative producers. And so our fellows will be part of the first year. Their first year will be the Prince Fellowship. And then the second 2 years will be in partnership with TTLP. They'll be working with us. We'll be, you know, continuing to develop their ideas. But we felt like it was really important to, you know, have a creative producing partner like Prince, who has the infrastructure and kind of the history and influence to really support that individual in that first year and give them some of those foundational tools and understanding of what it means to be a creative producer, and then give them those additional 2 years to continue to develop a TTLP. And then for general and company management, we've partnered with Black Theater Coalition. Again, I think it was important for us to think about partnerships that are, you know, partners that are already doing the work and already at the forefront of change. And so with BTC, we've developed six additional 2-year fellowships. So the first 2 years of the fellowship will be with BTC, partnered with 6 general management offices working throughout Broadway. And then that final year, again, they'll be with TTLP, and we'll be working on job placement opportunities for them if they want to, you know, obviously continue in the industry. So those are our partners. And, you know, part of our mission, you know, is leadership. And we also appreciate stage management in that. So we're still figuring that offering out, and we're having conversations with stage managers within the industry about what that offering looks like. And that will be coming out, you know, once it's ready. So right now, our main partners are the Prince Fellowship through Columbia and Black Theater Coalition for general and company management.
And if I can add, we'll be, as Leah was saying, that there are other, that TTLP is built to expand and it's built to grow. We have built in growth opportunities within the very fiber of the organization. And so we are in conversations with a number of different partners, including even in general company management and producing to find other pathways that people may come to this work. Because the work of a producer, for instance, you know, a producer on Broadway is very different than the work of a presenter on the road. So we want to make sure that we are finding a way to allow people in however they see themselves.
And let's talk a little bit about the specifics of these fellowships, that these sort of multi-year fellowships. And the main one, it seems like you were built around the initial idea as this creative producing fellowship that is not like anything else that I know of in the industry. Tell me a little bit about kind of how it's going to work and why it was how the structure evolved to offer things that were not readily available previously.
I think I could take this one maybe. So at the beginning of the creation of TTLP, one of the things that was most important to Barbara and Leah was that we are about long-term sustained funding. We're about long-term sustained support. So we were never going to create fellowship opportunities or internship opportunities, what have you, that are anything less than a number of years, because it does take that long to really kind of wrap yourself into the community. And so going out to the Prince Fellowship, they have had such a vast history of amazing producers coming through their programs, and all of their producers have gone off to continue to produce on Broadway, to bring in new work. And so we wanted to be able to partner with them in order to have our producer go through that. But again, we are about multi-year support. So the second year of the Prince Fellowship will be placing the producer, or the second year of the producing fellowship, excuse me, will be placing the producer in another producer's office so they can also have that experience. And then in the third year, they'll focus on their project that they brought in with them, and we'll work with them to find employment opportunities. And like Leah was saying, with BTC, as we are about, again, long-term sustained support, we wanted to make sure that the fellows were going to have an opportunity to actually kind of sink into a general manager's office. And BTC came up with the idea of, then let's make this 2-year fellowships in the general management offices. Let us work with the general managers and get their offices in a place where they are ready to receive fellows of color. And then let us have them there for 2 full years. And then in a third year, we will work with the general managers, with BTC, and with the fellows to find employment opportunities. Because after all of these financial resources and education resources and all of the stuff that we are investing in these fellows, we want to be sure that we keep them in the industry. We want to be sure that we keep them in the commercial theater field. So we're going to do everything we can at the end of their fellowship to keep them there.
Yeah, it does seem one of the things that can be so challenging about getting into the theater business and staying in the theater business is that for so long it's been sort of built on the idea of unpaid internships, which is,
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah. So many, I imagine you both have had those but it's a huge barrier to entry, right?
Yeah.
And talk us through you talked through some of the ways that TTLP is mitigating that. I mean, one of the things is that this is a fellowship and you are paid. It's not an unpaid fellowship. You have all this opportunity and you are paid for the work you do.
Yeah, you're paid, and you're paid real money. I did some fellowships in my life, and I don't come from wealth by any stretch of the imagination, and so taking an unpaid fellowship was not. It was not in the cards for me. Luckily, my first fellowship at Arena Stage was paid. It wasn't paid very much, but it was paid. Eventually, I was also able to get health insurance. That is one thing that we're starting out with the fellows. They will have health insurance. We know from living through this global pandemic that there is nothing more important than ensuring that if you get sick, you can go to a doctor and be taken care of. So we're going to make sure that they have that. We also know, because of how this country is built, that family wealth is not necessarily something that a lot of Black people come from. So being able to move yourself to New York, being able to cover potential expenses in childcare or student loans or other expenses that you don't even know will come up, a number of people don't have that. So we've created a little fund that each fellow can draw some money from for those potential expenses. So yes, you'll be paid. You will have health insurance and you will have other expenses potentially being able to be met.
I'll have more with Travis and Leah right after the break. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
And now, here's more with Leah Harris and Travis Lamont Bellinger of the Theater Leadership Project. Travis, a little earlier in our conversation, you were talking about the general manager's office and getting the general manager office ready to incorporate a fellow of color. And that leads me into one of my questions for you, which is a lot of the things that people have been talking about in the last year is the racism and inequity that's sort of embedded into the structure of how the theater industry works and how so many things work. And I just wonder how you at TTLP are thinking about the ways in which you're teaching people the way the business works, and then also teaching them the ways in which, or showing them the ways in which it needs to be changed or working to change them as you're bringing in all this new talent.
Yeah, I'll jump in. And Leah, do you want to add on? Or you're about to speak, so you start.
Oh no, I was just going to say that I think one of the things that we're able to focus on now that we are, you know, kind of post our launch is about this idea of, you know, we're going to have Black individuals working in predominantly white environments, right? And we view it as our, you know, utmost responsibility to make sure that our fellows are working in safe, healthy, anti-racist environments. Because again, this is a life and a career that we want them to sustain. And so we're having really intentional conversations about what are the expectations that we have for our GM offices and our partners in terms of how we treat one another and how we and what are the systems that we're putting in place to make sure that our fellows have a safety net that appreciates their full humanity. Because so often we just hear about, you know, people of color, Black people being in white environments and having to shrink themselves, not being able to show up fully, not being able to live authentically in that space. And I think one of the things we're doing by saying we're being intentional about focusing on Black individuals means that we have to be intentional about the care that we have for them in these spaces. And, you know, we are leaning into those conversations and we're excited about those conversations. And I think our partners are as well, because it really is about making that space hospitable and fair and anti-racist for them to really be able to do their best best work, because again, we are working so hard, like Travis was saying, on eliminating barriers of just, you know, getting to New York, moving into a place, all these other things. We also have to make sure that when they show up to work, they're able to do so fully. And that is something that we are actively working on right now in conversation with some HR consultants and just people in the field that are really helping us think about that in a way for our fellows this fall. So.
And to your, you had asked earlier how the founding members were going to continue participating, and I didn't actually answer that question. This is how, like, there is a lot to do. We are very happy that Leah has come on. She is the only employee of TTLP, but there is a lot to do, because not only are we trying to like build space at these, not only are we trying to find the fellows, but then we have to help build the space that they will inhabit. Also to add, our GM partners and our partners with BTC and Columbia have been excited to do this work of making sure that their organizations are hospitable spaces for these fellows. It is also to say that the Broadway League has been doing a lot of work in terms of getting training for the GM and the GM offices in anti-racism, ED&I. So there's a lot of work that's happening in changing the culture of spaces.
Yeah, and I imagine that also intersects with the conversations that are going on right now about, you know, bullying and harassment and sort of, you know, the ways people treat each other in Broadway spaces, and the ways sometimes it has been tolerated, bad behavior has sort of been tolerated in a way that people have finally decided they will not tolerate anymore. I imagine, is that correct? Am I correct in thinking that?
Absolutely.
That intersects, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to send a fellow to a space that's not safe for them. And what safety means is not just physical safety. They're emotional, they're mental, they're spiritual safety. We're not going to send them into a place that isn't safe for them. We want to send them into spaces where they can learn and grow and fail and be able to continue learning and growing and failing. So yes, everyone has rolled up their sleeves and are doing that work. It's not the easiest work to do, to kind of look at yourselves and say, in what ways do we need to change to be more anti-racist? It's not easy work. So I applaud all of our partners for doing it.
Yeah. And how, for each of you, as you've been in the industry for the years that you have been, how have your experiences informed the way you're approaching this in terms of either the support you got or the support you wish you'd gotten?
Good question.
It's a great question. Leah Volek hired me. It's not that I came from nowhere. My God, I was the old Globe is one of the largest theaters in the country. But I did not have Broadway connections before then. Something that Leah Harris here and I talk about a lot is that there seems to be this notion that if you are a Black person, if you're a person of color working in the theater field, that like the commercial world is not for you, that you are forced to go into the not-for-profit arena. And it's specifically, yes, the pathways to commercial producing are difficult, but so are the pathways to producing in the not-for-profit world. Yes, the rules, they're all kind of shrouded in mystery, but so are the rules for not-for-profit. The difference is that Black people are basically told from the moment you graduate college that all of the work that you have to do has to be in service. That like somehow in order to get here, you've gotten something. And so now you have to give back. You can't do work that also has a commercial angle to it. Your work can't play with the market. Your work can't be about making money. That's not what you do. What you do is serve. And I think that we are working to also kind of combat that idea and to fight against that. But Leah Volek hired me. She just kind of asked me to do this because she saw something in me and she liked me. I wish that all producers would do that, would start looking outside of the spaces that they always inhabit and for people to work in their offices. But that's not what's happening. Being a young Black producer, I feel like I have to bring a lot of my personal experience into this as we build it, because we don't have a bunch of people like Leah Volokh who's out just hiring people. So we have to build this system that's going to be hospitable. I don't actually know if I answered your question, but I feel like I knocked around it.
You absolutely did. No, that's perfect. Yeah, that's great. Leah.
I think what I would say is, like, I totally agree with everything, you know, that Travis has said. And I think, you know, for me, it's like a lot of the work, all the work that I've done since I've graduated has been in service at a nonprofit, you know, within community engagement, education, that world. And it has taught me a lot. And I think right now, you know, what is exciting about this role is that I'm really able to think about all of the things I've learned within regional theater about, you know, partnerships and collaboration and how we, you know, are in mutually beneficial positions with one another, how we're in right relationship with one another to move forward. Because I think, you know, one thing that I've just learned is, like, collectively we can move forward together. And I think that, you know, the way that TTLP is doing this through partnerships and how the program is built to really have capacity for multiple partnerships is really, really exciting to me. Cause again, that has been my work. And so I'm hoping that this is also kind of modeling to the field a way of, supporting new leadership, supporting more Black people in spaces, and really thinking about, again, just like those pathways to leadership and how they have historically, systemically served white people and have kept Black people out, and really thinking about how we can ground our partnerships in ways that are equitable and fair, that really do promote a society that promotes leadership that looks like the society and country that we live in. Because I just ultimately think that, like, we are just at a point now where we just need to have leadership that is just more reflective of our lived experiences and more of the world that we live in. And so I'm excited by all the energy that's happening on Broadway to kind of to do all of that work right now, because it's long overdue, but I think right now it's a really important time to be thinking about that. So again, I don't even really know if that answered the question either, but
it absolutely did. Thank you. And actually, you also alluded to the fact that neither of you had really had a Broadway credits before this, and I just wondered about working in, both of you have worked in multiple regional theaters around the country, and I wonder if that gives you, if you can sense that gives you a national perspective that maybe people on Broadway, who, because it can be a very closed loop there, that you are bringing a perspective that kind of influences the way this program evolves. Do you have any sense of that?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, yeah. I'm so sorry. I just the way that the belief that these producers and managers are not out there, we both know from coming from the regional world that they are out there. They're brilliant. They're brilliant leaders, mm-hmm. just running around this country, who are just sleeves rolled up doing the work, who would bring dynamic change to the commercial world, the work that they would produce, or the ways that they would manage would change everything. And they have not been afforded those opportunities to they've not been invited in, and in fact they've been intentionally excluded, because that's how systematic racism works. And so I can, speaking for myself, I know that there are just so many people out there, so the idea that they aren't out there is just not true. What we have to do is invite them in and create a space where they will want to be. Because these aren't people who are just sitting around waiting for jobs and just like, oh, woe is me. These are people who are out there doing the damn thing. So we have to invite them in and create a space that they will actually want to come to, and then do everything we can to keep them there, because what they are going to do is going to change everything.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think part of, you know, us wanting to support this next generation of leadership is having leaders that come from different backgrounds, right? Like having different thought processes and thought partners in leadership, and really thinking about what does it mean to be a leader right now, and what are the conversations that leaders are having. I just think that, like, as we're continuing to talk about, you know, supporting the next generation of Black leaders, all of that stuff, we have to also acknowledge that that means that leadership is going to start looking and feeling different, that we're going to start feeling different changes in our community. And so, like, really just being, and those are all exciting things to celebrate, right? So I think that's also just an important part about when we talk about leadership, that, like, that means that that's going to look different and it's going to feel different. And the choices are going to, again, be more reflective of the world that we live in.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the candidates you're looking for. Who are these people? Where do they come from? What's their background? What, tell us a little bit about, like, sort of who you think are the, will be the applicants for this program, and who you think would be a good fit.
That's definitely something that we've, like, we get asked a lot and we have to think about a lot. And I think ultimately, you know, we want this fellowship to be for anyone who sees themselves in this fellowship, right? We want to create, again, going back to creating that space where people want to be in. We're not centering education. We're not centering a level of education. We're not centering working from nonprofit coming into, you know, we're not centering these kind of ideas of this is how you've had to do it to get there, or just because I, you know, went the education route, you know, that's not what we're thinking about. We really are thinking about, who is it that sees themselves being in this position, making this commitment for 3 years, and potentially would want to sustain it, right? And if you can see yourself doing that, and if you can, you know, make the effort to apply and all of that stuff, then we will want to talk to you, and we're going to want to create that space for you. I think what's exciting about this first year and this idea that, you know, in a handful of months we'll have an announcement to say these are our fellows, is like from then on the program will really take shape around those individuals, right? And I think part of my job will be to make sure that it does, and that, you know, as they continue to grow and evolve in year 2 and 3, it could look like a completely different program because it's reflective of their art and their values and their humanity. And I think that that's really exciting. So there is no, I don't know if there's one perfect candidate, but if you see yourself in this fellowship, then you should apply, and we want to talk to you for sure.
Definitely. And it just, if I can add to that, Leah has spoken just, like, beautifully about how we decolonize our ideas of experience. Right. And because the way that these systems are set up is that certain people who have certain experiences that are only afforded to those, to people who look like them, then perpetuate that idea by saying you have to have this kind of degree, or you have to have this, this, and that. And so we are actively working to not answer the question of who is the right person for this, because we want the candidates to answer that themselves. We want them to look at the descriptions of these jobs and say, you know what, I had this life, I went off and did this, this, and this, I maybe didn't go to college, I maybe did, you know, I was doing this, and I see myself doing that. I think that this works for me. I work in a law office, and I think that, you know, maybe this is a good thing for me. I'm going to become a company manager, then please come join us. Or, you know, I've been producing plays in my neighborhood at the church, and I think I have a handle for what this could be, and I have some ideas, then please come join us. I mean, hell, that's how Tyler Perry got his start. So, like, you could maybe be him. So there are many different routes to, mm-hmm. to whatever success is. And we want to make sure that we are open for all of those.
Yeah. And I think also too, just adding on that, just going back to when I was talking about leadership and what it looks like, it's like, again, having fellows that are coming from, you know, all those different backgrounds that Travis just talked about, and, you know, thinking about how that diversity of experience, and not necessarily coming through, you know, a specific training program or coming from the theater world, that's only going to enhance the ideas and the innovation that Broadway can do, right? By having just a diversity of thought, you know, someone that has not grown up in the industry or grown up seeing plays on Broadway, whatever that is only going to add to, like, the richness of the tapestry that our fellows will be able to add to. So I think it is important that, like, we really do punctuate that, you know, we're not centering or putting a certain value on the traditional ways that you can, you know, become in these positions. So.
Mm-hmm. And so how many fellows will be chosen at some point later this year?
So we'll have six within our GM program, GM and company mm-hmm. management program, and we'll Great. Have one creative producer fellow, Great. And we'll do that every year. So we'll do one new Prince Fellow every year for the next 3 years.
Oh, great.
And then once we have our stage management announcement, we'll know what that kind of rounded number looks like. But we're not sure what that looks like yet. So, and sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to ask. And so this, so it is structured to, this is an annual rolling program, at least right now.
Specifically with the Prince Fellowship.
Okay. Okay.
Every year we'll do a new, we'll support a new track within the Creative Producer Fellowship.
Okay, great. For 3 years for each of them. Okay, yeah.
For each of them for 3 years. And great. With the General and Company Management Fellow, they'll be there 3 years. And then the program is built to, in 3 years, bring in a new crop of General and Company Management Fellows.
Right. And you've both talked a little bit about how the program is sort of structured to enable growth or change based on anything that might happen with the folks that are involved in this. How, looking ahead, as should TTLP be able to grow and expand its activities, what for you are you hoping to be able to do even beyond what it's doing right now?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, I think that there is obviously a lot of opportunity for leadership for people with people of color. There's just so much opportunity because there's very few. I can't think of a single general manager of color in the Broadway world, and very few company managers, and very few producers and stage managers. And so there's a lot of opportunity out there to get them. But I also think that as we continue to think about leadership and different leadership roles, we are specifically focusing on leadership because of the trickle-down effect of that. We believe that by hiring people of color, getting people of color in leadership roles, that they will also continue to hire people of color, and that will have a trickle-down effect. I think that one thing I'm interested in us doing is thinking about what are other leadership roles in the industry that we should also be examining with TTLP. So I think that once we kind of get all of this started and we get the fellows in, then I think it'll afford us a little time to think about, okay, then what's next in terms of what other positions are we going after?
Yeah, I would agree. I think because I'm also just really interested in the investigation of leadership and where we are, where we're calling upon our leaders to lead. And so I think as we continue to grow, I think I'm interested in that and in where else TTLP can support leadership.
Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing how the program grows and to seeing also how it begins. What is the application? How, if someone is interested in applying, how do they do? Where do they do it? And by when?
Yes. So the applications for the Prince Fellowship with Columbia are open now. You can go on our website and click through everything on our programs page and understand what the three-year offering is, and then you can click apply now and go apply for the Prince Fellowship. Those applications close June 15th, so about a month out. And the BTC applications for company and general management will be open on June 1. And so if you sign up for our email list on our website, you'll get all of those updates when they're happening.
Great. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you both. It was great to talk to you. And we look forward to meeting your fellows when it launches.
Yes.
Absolutely. They are going to be, we are going to have a great rollout in trying to introduce them to the world. So definitely looking forward to you meeting them.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thanks.
That was Travis Lamont Bellinger and Leah Harris, two of the executives behind the Theater Leadership Project. More information at theaterleadershipproject.org. That's theater with an R-E, theaterleadershipproject.org. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. You can find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @gcoxvariety. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the sups. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.